Welcome back to the Take Flight Podcast with John Melton, where we discuss travel, teaching English abroad, and maximizing your income. For those of you new to the podcast, I'm John Melton. I'm an English major. I'm a world traveler. I've taught English abroad, and I'm here to show you all of my tips and tricks. So welcome on board, and let's get this show rolling. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to the Take Flight Podcast. Today, we have a very special episode. We have an interview with a college student who's looking to go teach abroad, specifically in China. She's from my class, my Mandarin class, actually. We're going to be joined by Jesse Lee, and she's at the university. Well, I'm not going to say what university, but just listen in and pick what tips you can find useful. It's like minimally edited, maybe except for, you know, a few rough patches in the audio. See what gold nuggets of information you can find out. I try to answer all questions as candidly as possible. I'm supposed to be interviewing her, I guess. I'm not sure what for, but she ended up interviewing me. Anyways, it's a consultation. Listen in and see if her situation fits yours in any way and take from it what you can. Let's go. All right. Welcome to the Take Flight Podcast. But Jesse, you want to go teach abroad, or do you want to go teach specifically in China?
Specifically in China, because that's where my major lies. Teaching, it's never been like my certain goal in life, but I guess like, I don't know if it comes out as bad. I kind of want to just like get over in China, because I guess I want a change of scenery, and I also like want to pursue something else in China. So teaching in China right now is basically the stepping stone in order to get over there and to improve my Chinese and to try to like reach my end goal.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the reason I went. I was I just needed a change of scenery. The first time, like when I went to China, I went through like a breakup, and I was trying to get into community college, and they told me I was going to get financial aid, so I was preparing. And when the time came, they sent some sort of verification form, and when it came back, I filled it out what I thought was the same, and I sent it back, and they said, "Oh, you get no financial aid." So I was like, "Are you serious?" So I just up and decided to go. If you got questions for me, you can shoot them.
All right. I guess, my first question, I wrote the questions down. How do you get a TEFL? TESOL?
TEFL?
Yeah, TEFL.
You can get a TEFL or a TESOL or a CELTA. Mm-hmm. And everybody always debates like about this, like what's the most important one or what's the best one. Like you said, your main goal is not to be a teacher. Like you just, it's a means to
get over there
product. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't want to go like do a CELTA. CELTA is going to cost, you know, a couple $1,000 probably. You'll have to go teach live classes, and you honestly just don't need it. Mm-hmm. What I went through was, it was called eye-to-eye TEFL, and I think that stands for individual-to-individual TEFL, because TEFL, you probably already know, but for those that don't, teaching English as a foreign language certificate, and that's really the base one. But if I were you, I'd go a couple steps up. They say the 120-hour is like the gold standard, but I seriously don't think you'll even need it. What is your major in?
World language, so Chinese right now. So yeah.
World language. Okay. Here's the weird thing about China is, and I've seen it with other teachers, like I had a friend who was from New Zealand, and he has studied Chinese for 2 years, and he was really good. And but he was there when we got there. And the thing you'll notice is they only want you to use English in the classroom. They don't want you to speak Chinese to the children because they're like, oh, this is English only. They speak, Chinese plenty elsewhere. So putting that like on your application or mentioning that, it just don't even do it with China. Not
Yeah,
you
that's what
could
I've heard too.
yeah, you could elsewhere, but not there. But the fact you're going to have a bachelor's, I mean, you're already ahead of over half of the pack. Then get a decent TEFL, maybe once a couple hundred bucks, maybe $100, $200, and that way you're a little better than the base. And you have a little more negotiating power. But yeah, that's the one I would go for, is just a basic TEFL, TESOL and CELTA. I mean, they're useful, but it's subjective to the person. For you, it's not even, it's not necessary.
So, is there like a certain website that I should get on? Like you said, I to I, should I look that up?
Yeah, if you look on, I believe it's Instagram, you'll see it's like I underscore TO underscore I TEFL, and that's a legit one. There's legit ones in like America, the UK, Canada, I think Vietnam and Australia. So you want them to be accredited and make sure, because there's a lot of scam ones out there. Really, just go to the main TEFL website. I mean, TEFL.com or what it is. I can't remember because I haven't been to TEFL in so long. And actually, once I completed it, I don't even know if I ever received my certificate. They just asked if I had it, and I said, yeah, and they accepted, what I said. So don't stress about it too much.
Can I email you just in case, like, is this the right one? Just like,
Oh,
as a
yeah. I can tell you if it's a scam one or not for sure.
All right. Okay, cool. So how much did it cost for a TEFL for you?
For mine, it was, I want to say, give or take, around $100, maybe $120 or $80. Either it's $20 on the upside of 100 or underside, but around that much. Nothing killer.
So what is like, I feel like, since I don't really know what a TEFL is like you study materials in order to teach.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're gonna send you like they're I guess you could say it's a course, but really it just kind of like gives you information on the culture and teaching methods, because as you know that teaching methods in America are different than teaching methods in China, which are different than Japan. And it just kind of tells you, okay, don't ever do this. This is a faux pas. Or if you're eating, don't stick your chopsticks straight up in the rice, or different cultural things, and then you'll test on it. And I mean, it's not like, serious proctored tests, but they want you to pass, and then you'll get your certificate. It's not hard at all.
And I'm guessing if you fail, you have to take it again, right?
I think if you fail, you just get to take it again. You don't have to pay or anything.
Oh, okay. How long usually does
It's self-study, so it could be fast as you want. Now, if you get up into the higher amounts, I think they are called like the 6 week course or the 9 week course. But if you get one that's like 120 hours, they say it's 120 hours. So at least that, or I mean, if you finish it faster, it's faster. But it's just, if you have 120 hours, you can kind of expect the coursework to be about 120 hours, give or take, depending on how fast you work. But
So
like I
that's
say, you don't need to necessarily go all the way up to 120. That's the like the big boy.
So it's okay if I just like do like say 100 or like 90 hours.
Yes, it's okay if you find the most basic one. That's what I used, and it serves its purpose.
Okay, cool. And so like I don't know if you remember, but like during the language table, I was saying that I looked into like companies that I can work for, but a lot of them only pay, what was it? I have the website up here. They only pay the 12,000 to 15,000 RMB monthly.
Yeah, that's super, super low.
Yeah.
They're probably giving those jobs to people that aren't native English speakers, or they don't have a bachelor's, or the people that fall into the biggest trap, and that's the young, eager people who are like, I just want to get over there no matter what, just as long as it's a job, I'll take it. And there's a lot of those people, and they get caught up by those jobs. I'm trying to find, my job list.
This one, the 12,000 was like English first, and apparently they're like the official language trainer service for like the Olympics, for like SENA and stuff like that. But when I said like when I found out how low they were paying, I was like, oh, and a lot of the websites were just like really low.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you'll see a lot of claims and they're not always true. Like the first school I went to, they said that they were partners with like Stanford or Harvard, and after looking at the curriculum just a little bit, I was like, no, they are not. And you can kind of tell. So I think I took it off my phone. It's on my computer, but I have a job list, and we're setting up to where we want this to be like a subscription where people can pay to give the job list, but you're on my podcast and you're in my class, so I can probably just send it to you for free. But there's one called, let me see if I can look it up, because you can find companies on YouTube and you can see people teaching at certain companies. I want to say it's like it's not Leapfrog, but it's something like that. But I'll give you a job list. You'll see the legitimate ones. You really, with you having a bachelor's, and I know you don't have a teaching license, but that's where the TEFL kind of takes that place. Uh-huh. And you can get into some, legitimate schools. But you may be looking at going, getting your foot in the door through like a learning center. And, but you 15, like 15,000, like that's nowhere near. You need to, at least be looking at 25, 30,000 minimum. And once you're on the ground, you're going to see what it's like. Like you're going to see, okay, they're taking a cut or this and that. And if you want to make more money, you can. There are opportunities. But it seems like you just want to find, even if they take a cut, you just want a position that you can go and be comfortable in, regardless. And you'll find some. It's just you got to kind of get in the loop. And it's kind of more than I can explain right here. But I can send you the job list. And really from there, it's getting your documents in order properly. What's different from America and there is, or at least when you're sending applications there, is they want a picture on your application, on your resume, and here they don't. Mm-hmm. And, it's not popular opinion, and I might even get some heat for this, but like in China specifically, they do view people with like a hierarchy, and in certain places, like for instance, people like Black people or Africans don't get the best treatment. But then in like Guangzhou, like that's the highest like amount of Africans or African Americans in China, and they do well down there. They have this fascination with the West. Sometimes they think like that only white people live in America or something. Like they meet like a Black person is from America, they're like kind of shocked by it at first, and I don't understand that because they're big fans of like NBA and stuff. But so you want to get into a school that's not gonna view you that way, and yes. Stuff, because I've heard of Chinese Americans or Asian Americans or Japanese Americans going and not even so much being mistaken for Chinese, but if they are of Chinese descent and they don't know Chinese, they start calling them like a bad Chinese. You're a bad Chinese person, or you're bad this. And so you know, it's a different environment than America, and you're gonna see that America is nowhere near as racist as the media and some people say it is, because like when you get out of the country, I don't even think they mean it as being racist. They're just very more blunt on how they feel about things. But I know that's a long way to get back to what we're talking about. But don't where did you find that job, the 15,000 one?
I just Googled teaching English in China, and it was the first thing that popped up.
Oh
And
yeah.
then it's called English First. And yeah, it says the package includes 12,000 to 15,000, free hotel for your first 2 weeks, free Mandarin Chinese lesson, and health insurance, flight to China, social cultural events, like flight allowance.
Yeah, I've seen some people, there's some YouTubers, like one named like Fine Poppy and Colin Abroad. They used English first, I believe, to get over there and then transferred over to another company. And then eventually their like little YouTube channel took off. Yeah, it's just too low. Like they're not even giving you really room to negotiate. And so also, if you ever see a contract that says no negotiating, just seriously like be done with it right then. But download an app called WeChat, and I can add you to some job
Oh,
lists
yes.
too.
I do have
And
WeChat.
also there's a site that every what's that?
I do have WeChat. I use it quite often.
Oh, do you? Okay, just I'll type my ID in the chat.
Is there
And
some, do
but yeah,
you
I'll add you to some
have
job
to
groups
work
on
for a
there. And also
company?
there's a site called what's that?
Do you have to work for a company? Is it like solo contracts? Like, like for a school, can you work for
Not
private tutoring?
well, you can't, it's yes and no. You're not going to get over there that way, because to get the visa, you have to be kind of like sponsored by a company. So it's best to get in through a company, even if it's not perfect, and then you can pick up privates. The thing is China doesn't want you doing any work that's not on your visa. So it's tricky. You have to, you may come across like a wealthy business guy or whatever, just wants you to go play basketball with his son for a couple hours and just speak English the whole time, not like formal lessons. And, you know, if you're charging $60 an hour, which is what you should be charging, at least minimum 30, you know, you're going to start racking up, because it's, you know, you can live for like $5 a day there. So just know that it's available, but you're not going to get over there just on that.
So I should definitely start off as a company to get my
Yeah,
footing.
for sure. You just want to try your best to avoid agents as much as you can, even though I've went through an agent, but I didn't realize how bad my deal was until after the fact. Yeah, Dave's ESLCafe.com is like a real popular website throughout the industry for years. You have to kind of scour it, because there are a lot of scam and bad jobs, but you'll come across good ones. And but I would say, do not go on the forums there. It's like the most toxic thing ever. Just a bunch of burnt out teachers or expats that it didn't work out for, and they're real negative. So try to stay off that.
And so you says about extra earning extra money. I was wondering, like, Are you allowed to have like a side job?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is like China technically no. But like it's kind of like this. It's like you know how technically we're supposed to report all of our income to the government, income taxes, but there are people who go mow yards for $25 and don't report it. That kind of thing. So you got to pick them up as side gigs. Now, there is a legitimate way to go negotiate with your boss and say, you know, I'm interested in earning extra money or working overtime, or I'll work weekends, or I'll do private lessons, but here's what I charge for private lessons. And so that way you're negotiating on your terms, because I'm telling you, it's very easy to start getting worked a lot for little money, because you'll think, oh, I got the day off, and they'll say, okay, we're not working today, but, you know, come to the school. We're going to have a spelling bee out front, or we're going to go put posters up on this side of town, and they make it seem like it's this fun get together thing. But really you're like, hold up, I'm working, you know, like you need to be like, so who do I turn my time card into, is what you should say. So they know that you're not going to, you know, be working for free all the time. Cause I mean, let's face it, when you're on the other side of the world, you don't really have anybody to lean on. You have to, you know, do everything you can to survive and, you know, make your money, or else you're going to be in a bad situation. You don't want to be stuck teaching and never making enough money to fly home, you know, because you don't get paid enough and you've been taken advantage of. So,
So say like, I don't want to work overtime for like teaching, but say like I want to work in maybe like a cafe. Is that allowed?
They have like laws that they have to hire Chinese workers, or they have to hire them first, unless you have like a really unique skill to offer. Now, there are jobs called white monkey jobs, and what that is like, and they're not always the best jobs, but it could be a voiceover work, like voiceover for a show, or and these are common too. It's not like, you know, only found in one place. This happens all the time, but you can do voiceover work, contract like reviews, a DJ. You could be like a waitress, but it would be like at a nightclub. It wouldn't be, you know, during the day at a coffee shop. You know, it would be a something where your Westernness benefited you. Oh, this club's so cool, it's got Americans at it. Because that's the mindset. So, but if you, now another option to keep open, if you want a lot more freedom, because now I love China, I love it, I really do, but they do have like a censorship problem, you know, and Google's not widely, freely available to everybody. Can't use YouTube, can't use Instagram. You have to get a VPN to get around these things. But in places like South Korea or Taiwan, I would say Taiwan still feels like the old China and before all the rules, and you can still speak Mandarin and people are going to understand you. Obviously, Korea, they speak Korean, but that's like a real perfect blend of the West and East. It's very clean and very modern, and technology's up to date. China feels a lot like the Wild West kind of. It's just anything can happen. You can see anything. I mean, even in the what they call small cities, there's more to do than there is in Memphis. So it's definitely an adventure. It's definitely worth it. And just remember, you're going to be living on a fraction of what it takes to live here, and you're not going to be paying for gas, not going to be paying for a car. You can freeze your insurance if you have a car at home. You got public transportation. Your house is paid for. Utilities are about $15 a month, and it's so, you know, don't be scared, but take it for what it's worth. A lot of people that stay far too long in China start to get a little bitter about it. So just I would keep my options open. Taiwan is another place you can practice Mandarin and stuff.
So I know, like, since I can't speak Chinese towards the students, is there any way like I could take extra lessons? Will they offer like Chinese lessons to me, or do I have to go out?
My school did, but it's like they saw at a certain point when it was becoming more difficult, they just kind of stopped. But you can find other people or college students that'll do it too. And if you're not in class and you want to speak Chinese, like that's fine, or to the teaching assistant or the principal, because my principal didn't speak a lick of English. Like she knew two words, but all my teaching assistants did. And they're the ones that really pulled me through because, disciplining the kids and stuff like that if the class was getting out of hand.
Oh yes, one major thing is like, will I be the main teacher or will I be a teacher assistant?
You'd be a main teacher and you'll have teaching assistants. I remember when I went to China, I didn't have a bachelor's degree, and I had teaching assistants that had like 7 years of school, had like, master's degrees and stuff. And I was like, man, I'm getting paid way more than them. I'm the main teacher and they have way more education than me. Like, I felt kind of guilty about it, but they are paying you because you are an expert on the English language.
So since like, you didn't have any experience, I don't have any experience in teaching English, how did that curriculum go?
Right. Well, first off, we'll start with like resumes. Is whenever you list on your resume your teaching experience, you need to consider any and all teaching experience. I don't care if it was you taught at your Sunday school, like you taught little kids, or like I put that I was a personal trainer teaching fitness, regimens. And that's one thing. So when I went to the school, and you want to find this out kind of too, sometimes you won't be lucky enough to go in where they already had a curriculum, but my school did. It had books for all the grades, and then they had a like lesson plan for the teachers like to review in between, and then you could just take from there what you want to do. You might have to go like print out some shapes or print out some pictures of stuff, but other than that, I mean, it was easy. It got to where I could go in and do a lesson plan, prepare for class in like 30 minutes, and then go right in there and do it. And that helped me to reduce my office time a lot. So if you're teaching 4 hours and or even 2 or 3 hours and you have no office time, I mean, you're going to end up working maybe like 16 to 25 hours a week. It is not bad at all. And then making $2,000 to $3,000 a month, I mean, you can't really beat it.
Okay, because that's one thing, that's definitely one thing I was worried about, because like I don't really know how to teach English. I know how to speak it, but I don't really know how to teach it.
Well, yeah, I thought the same thing, and you will find out if you're cut out to be a teacher, because I never thought I would be, but all of a sudden I found myself liking it. I didn't really like teaching like the small kids, but the older ones I didn't mind at all. Hold on, let me plug this in my computer. Yeah, but then I started picking it up and kind of enjoying it because, I mean, if you've had stressful jobs, you know how that can be every day. But when it just really doesn't seem that stressful, you're just kind of playing around with the kids and teaching them what you already know. It's not that hard. But when you get up into the grammar parts, like the older kids and teaching, predicate nouns and past perfect tense and all this stuff. I ain't gonna lie. I had to go on Google and look it up and say, hold on, what was that? Oh, yeah. And then go in class and act like I knew it just perfectly.
So did you like taught all the grade levels, or would you place with certain, like just like 7th grade, or you taught like first, second, third?
Yeah, I started teaching at the like 3 and 4 year olds all the way up to like 16 year olds. And I'm gonna tell you, like, teaching 4 year olds that barely know Chinese, you're trying to teach them English, it's a nightmare. You're almost like Steve from like Blue's Clues or something. Like, you're just dancing and here's a ball and stuff, and it just kind of gets old. But the older students, I'd say 8 years old and up, and you can actually have conversations and see them thinking, like that's fine. And but you just kind of develop your own ways. What I do is come up with games. Games is the best thing. I mean, it was a flashcard game, a guessing game, because they're all really, really competitive. So if you can come up with a couple of good games to take up 45 minutes, I mean, you got it beat.
Did you teach like high school or middle school? like work.
I guess you would say it's high school, 15, 16, but all of these classes were within the, in China, all these classes were within a learning center. And so, like, I had an office downstairs, my friend had an office within mine. Go upstairs, there was three classrooms and a big playroom, and they would just have different time slots. And like when the kids got out of their primary school or their normal school, they would just walk over there because their parents would
Oh,
keep them
okay.
busy all the time.
Okay,
And
so it's
so,
not like like what I thought where you taught as was like an actual school, like,
no, I wouldn't, I wouldn't mind that in China, and you are able to, but it depends on your credentials. It depends on if you have a teaching license or not. Then it also depends on where you're applying. And that's all gonna, factor into whether you get that job in a main school. And you still don't have to know Chinese, as far as I know.
So was it better to learn to teach at like a learning center? 'Cause like,
Well, I'll be honest, learning centers are not the best. It's kind of, you find out they're motivated by money. They're motivated by the parents paying for these lessons. And so whether you're teaching well or not, the parents' judgment on your teaching ultimately matters most. And that can be stressful because you're not only trying to prove to the principal and the kids, hey, I'm teaching you. You're trying to go to the parents. Look, everything's going great, but you get over it. Once you've proven yourself to the principal, you can kind of say, bug off to the parents a bit. But what I've always, well, I've came to know, and other people know that have been in it a while, that getting into a regular school is the better way. And you can find a job lecturing at a college, or teaching for like a business. It doesn't always have to be learning center or traditional school.
Is it harder to get into an actual school or?
Yeah, it's about the same as, like, in America. Like, it's if you had a learning center, it would, be easier to get in than like go teach at University of Memphis. You're gonna have to like show them some credentials. You just get a big jump because you're from America, you got American passport, and you get a bachelor. So they do look for teachers in like economics and different things, but barely. The demand is just so hot just for somebody who can speak English fluently and clearly.
What city were you based in?
I was in Yingkou, which is in Liaoning province. And it's like, let's say it's like 400 or 500 miles east of Beijing.
Do you get to, well, probably not, like, do you get to decide where you're based in? Do you get to decide where you're based in?
Yeah, I mean, you get to choose your job. So, if you want to go to Shenzhen, apply in Shenzhen. If you want to go to Shanghai, look in Shanghai.
And of course, they don't supply housing, do they? You have to.
Yeah. The place I was at, they paid for my apartment, and it was in one of the nicest parts of town. Had a Western bathroom, two bedrooms. All the cars outside were BMWs, Range Rovers. I mean, it was nice. And like I said, my utilities were like $15 a month, and that was it. I could eat lunch at the school for free every day.
Do they help you like set up like a bank account and help you with your taxes since like,
Yeah, they're not
foreigners?
going to so much help you with your taxes, but you can find help with the bank. The woman that owned the school, she used to work at the bank, so she had ties. So it was probably easier for me, but I think the average Chinese person has to deposit 100 million yuan into the bank to get a platinum card. And all I did was just walk in and sign up, and they just gave me one free. They gave me an account for free. And they didn't charge me to send my money over to my bank. I wired it, and it was it took a while because the process was just really slow. But yeah, they did it for free, and it's just kind of a hassle though, every once a month or every 2 weeks going up there. But there are easier ways now. That is the problem right now, is getting money out of China. it's a lot of people are struggling with that, and you just have to use a variety of ways, whether it's bank wire or Western Union or what. And I'll just say that you might as well not hide your taxes and all of that. You might as well file taxes back home. And what you do, and I'm not an accountant, this isn't official accountant advice, but get a IRS 1055 form. And what it is if you're out of the country for at least 330 days, you can write off like 90% or almost all of your income, so you don't have to pay taxes back home. So look into that before you go. You may want to take a sheet with you or whatever, or maybe you could just fill it out online, however the IRS does it now.
Okay. Did I miss anything? I graduate this summer. Should I take the summer to study for the TEFL and then?
To be honest, you could probably knock the TEFL out on your weekends, like right now. It's not hard. It's basic, like the most basic history or social studies class you ever took. Like that's what it's like. But if you wanted to wait, you could.
That's true. Okay. That's all the questions I have I written down, but I feel like I'm missing a lot.
Yeah, well, just some of those things, like, you can't learn until, like, you're there. And that's the joy of it, is, like, waking up and not knowing, like, what is going to happen today? And what am I going to see that I'm not used to seeing every day at home? And just how people receive you, their attitudes, everything's different. And the first thing that's going to hit you are the smells. You're just going to be like, whoa, like, it's going to knock you back.
Is it better to live, I guess, more like in a populated in the city, or like at the city that you were in?
I've never lived in rural China, but my friend Anthony has. And well, if you like going out and having a lot to do, KTV, movies, tons of malls, more food places than you could think of, public transportation, live in the city.
Yeah.
If you like staring at a wall all day and hiking mountains in your free time, go to the rural China.
Yeah. I do miss going back to China. So, yeah.
So, like, after you practice your Chinese and you travel in China, what do you want to do?
So, my dream, the goal I'm trying to work towards is to be part of the film industry in China.
The film industry?
Yes. As, okay. Like, an actress. I know it's, like, a huge, you know.
Hey, no. It's not too far of a dream. my friend was on a commercial while I was there. And then his buddy they went over there with was on a game show. I was at a grand opening of a kindergarten, like right next to government officials. It was on TV. In China, is highly possible.
Because that's why I asked, like, can I get a second job? Because, say, like, I want a gig. Would that, like, get me in trouble over there?
No. Okay, since you're saying that, then I'm going to tell you straight up, like, what you need to do. You need to go to Shanghai. You need to go right to Shanghai. Beijing is old China. It's awesome. It's more governmental. Shanghai is the Paris of the East, and it's a lot of English speakers and international people. Everybody just seems to be good looking there. and that's where you're going to find a ton of gigs outside of teaching English. I mean, opportunities will be in your face every day. So I would aim for Shanghai. So that means the cities near Shanghai, I think, like Nanjing and there's more, but I'm just can't think off
the top. What about Hunan? Hunan? Because I know Hunan broadcasting stations there. So I was thinking about maybe there. But I was thinking about Shanghai because, like, you know, like you said, more foreigners, more opportunity. But I was thinking like Hunan because, like, the broadcasting stations there. So I was just kind of like.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That would be equivalent to saying the difference between going to LA or Chicago. So LA being like Shanghai, Chicago being like Hunan.
That's true. Yeah. So going back to, I won't get in trouble if I get like an acting gig
No,
and they
because
pay
what,
me.
yeah, well, what's going to happen is it's going to become official. So like if they're saying, hey, we're going to pay you and this is an official thing, like they're going to probably clear it with, you know, their local authorities and stuff first. And if that isn't the case and they offer you something, you know, it's secure, like this is the real deal, then just quit your other job and just go to that job. But you just have to like report it through, you know, basically if you have any job or location change, you're supposed to report it to the police anyways, which I didn't like. Someone did it for me, and so I didn't have to do all that. And it's not hard that the rules are strict in China, but when the government's not there, no one's watching, nobody follows them. They just do whatever they want to do. But then when a government official comes to town, everybody just straightens up and like changes how they're acting and cleans up everything. So yeah, I would go near Shanghai. Why I say near is, well, like you said, teaching isn't your main thing. So there are going to be people who have a full-on teaching license, the master's degrees and PhDs who are going to be trying to get teaching positions in Shanghai. So that's going to be your competition. So I would aim near because China's metro system and train system's like the bomb. So, I mean, just on your day off, you could just zap over to Shanghai in an hour or so and spend the day there or look for jobs or opportunities. And it's just all going to be a hustle.
I didn't know if I should mention like I wanted to be an actress because like it sounds like
No, I can
overly.
totally see it. I think that could really work. That was actually when I was thinking about going the second time. I thought, you know, if teaching doesn't work, I'm going to take one of these white monkey jobs. I don't care if I'm acting or voice acting or what. I'm just going to take one because you'll get just unique offers. Like some of these YouTubers that just film, we're just filming their lives. Like eventually, like the government contacts them and like wants to fly them around, kind of as like a good publicity thing. Like, okay, film here and, you know, talk about how much you enjoy it. And so there's a lot of opportunities, but you know, the government is definitely always watching, but I mean ours is too in a sense. So
Like, why is it called white monkey job? Like, is it easy to
well, it
get or
probably
look down?
stems from like white people going over there, and a lot of times for these jobs, like the Chinese people just wanted a white face, like just to have a white person's face, or like if you're white with blue eyes, like they're like, this, if I put his face on this coming, all these Chinese people are going to come because they're like, oh, it's endorsed by America or an American. And just eventually that they've grown to be more diverse, like in their selections and accepting, but there is still a little bit of that white monkeyness to it. And the reason you could still qualify for white monkey jobs is because you speak English and you have an American passport. And so, like the job they offer me, like on a commercial, smiling and being a white guy, it's not going to be the same job offer that it would be for you. Like you could probably get into a, like you said, like a Chinese show where they need Chinese type people or Asian looking people that can speak English, and that would be beneficial, you know, to them. Or voiceover work, radio work, vlog type work. There are a lot of options.
Okay. So that was cool that your friend was on the game show. I just want to put that
Yeah,
there.
it was one of those hokey game shows too, like hit the button and all that. I thought that was cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad I mentioned it because I was like, on the fence, like, should I mention this?
Oh no, I've had crazy dreams that I've accomplished and some that I didn't. I mean, nothing gets much wilder than traveling all the way to the other side of the world. So the being the actress part definitely wasn't the big part.
So that's why I was just like, okay, let me just try teaching. Because, if I want to be a Chinese actress, A, I need to get over there. B, improve my Chinese to the level like I can speak. And so the best option was like teaching, even though I don't want to teach whatsoever. So that's why, yeah.
My my friend Anthony, he really did not like the teaching part, and he was pretty open about it. But even he was able to, put on enough to get by and keep the job. You don't have to
Love it.
dedicate your blood, sweat, and tears to it to be good, like a teacher would here. The students are nowhere near as troublesome as our students, for sure.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, I guess, yeah, that's all of questions I have for you. I'm pretty sure my main question would eventually would be like, help me find a job over there.
Main question was how I could get you to be an actress. No. But I appreciate you coming on and like doing this unscripted like interview, all recorded and stuff for a podcast. I know it's weird for me because I've never interviewed anybody. I've been interviewed, but I've never interviewed anybody. I will talk to you later. Feel free to like email me with any questions, or if you come across something that looks promising, then I can help you review it or look into it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good one. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Get a little sneak peek into a consultation type interview. If anybody else needs any help, email me and we can set up a time. We're working on a way to release the updated job list with over 200 legitimate, no scam job lists. Check us out on Instagram at takeflight_podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. There's no marketing budget, so leave a review on Apple Podcast or Google. Thank you so much, and have a good one. John Melton, signing out.